You're listening to Platform to Prosperity, an original podcast from United Way of Greater Stark County in partnership with PBS Western Reserve. We're here to have honest conversations that offer financial empowerment to listeners everywhere, but in particular, we want to empower the residents of Stark and Carroll counties. Are you ready to transform your financial situation? Then let's talk. On this episode of Platform to Prosperity, we are talking about young people in the workforce. Because, frankly, before you can make good money choices, you actually have to make some money. And a job is the best way to do that. So if you've got a young person in your household or in your network, you might want them to listen in. So here to share some thoughts on preparing young people for work is Rick Taylor. Rick, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tyrone. It's a pleasure.
Awesome, awesome. So Rick is a member of United Way of Greater Stark County's Economic Mobility Council. So he's one of ours, and he's formerly a part of Junior Achievement. So Rick, can you start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself as well as your work with Junior Achievement?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I got my college degree in mechanical engineering, oddly enough, and really at that time had no interest in business. But since that time, I was hired by my father in 1978 to work at Taylor Beverage Company, which is our family-owned beer distributorship. He made me an offer I couldn't refuse, Tyrone. He offered to pay me about $2,000 a year less than what I was making as an engineer. So it's pretty hard to pass up an offer like that. I worked at Taylor Beverage Company from 1978 to 2002 when we sold it. I was actually the owner of it by the time we got around to selling the business, and kind of learned that I liked being in business. I liked being a business person. I liked the challenges that it presented and trying to solve those challenges. After we sold that in 2005, my partners and I have two partners. The three of us own Cosmos Grill over in Massillon, Ohio. So we've been able to make that pretty successful as well. We've been there 16 years, so that's always a good sign. Let's see. Where was I at? Oh, 2002, yep. So as far as Junior Achievement, I worked there for about 6 years part-time. I don't know if folks know about Junior Achievement, but,
can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, love to. JA brings financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and work readiness programs into the local schools, and really with like pre-designed curricula, if you will. But it's taught by volunteers from the community. So it's a lot of business people, a lot of professional people volunteer their time to talk to the students about these issues. And I guess that's kind of why we're talking today.
Absolutely.
But it's a great program, really helps young people learn about money, about jobs, even about starting their own business if they would care to do that.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. Yeah. When I first found out that I was going to have the opportunity to do this podcast and to have the charge of hosting it, I reached out to you to be a potential guest. And I'm sure you remember we had that initial conversation just trying to brainstorm what you and I could discuss in an interview. And you just took us in this direction of talking about young people getting and keeping jobs. You spoke so passionately about that. So I want to ask, why is it important? Why are you so passionate about that? Why do you think it's, worth being passionate about? Why is it important to prepare young people for the workforce?
Well, it's kind of a two-edged sword, Tyrone. As you indicated, people need money to live. People need money to pay for the stuff that they need, as well as the stuff they want. And the only way to do that really is to work, to be in the workforce, get paid for your labor and your skills. Besides that, the other side of the sword is that businesses, and our economy in Stark County and really throughout the U.S. and the world, need good employees. You can't operate a company, by most companies at least, by yourself. You have to have trustworthy, hardworking employees, people that will get the job done. And that's why it's important, I think, to prep young people to get out of the workforce. I like to tell people, and I told some of the students this at JA when I was doing some classroom stuff, you know, there's a lot of people that want jobs, but not all those people know how to work.
Yes.
And it's really kind of almost two different things.
Yes.
So, you know, the my passion is for United Way as well as other organizations to try to teach people how to work, you know, how to keep a job once you get a job.
Yes.
So that's kind of why I'm passionate about it.
That's good. Now, what are some things that you think young people can do when they go in for that interview or on that job to get it and keep it?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that the main thing for young people or anybody to realize is what employers are looking for. You know, I also would tell young people in junior achievement when I was doing the classes that, you know, my job as a business person is to make a profit. If I don't make a profit, I'm not doing my job. And in theory, if I'm not making a profit, I can't feed my family. I can't take care of my family.
Yes.
So I tell them, if you can convince me that you can help me be successful and be profitable, then I'd be happy to give you a job. If, however, on the other hand, you hinder me from making a profit, you won't last very long.
Right.
So I think most employers, if not all employers, are kind of looking for the same things. You know, we want somebody that's reliable, that will show up when they're supposed to.
Right.
As often as they can. You know, don't call off if you're not sick. They will, their appearance, their dress is such that it fits the job, as we, as an employer describes it. But they kind of have a sense of urgency. So if it's a busy time in the restaurant, they kind of can, you know, amp up their efforts to keep up and make sure we're working together well. And that's a big thing, it's working together. It's a teamwork situation. Again, in practically any job you're ever going to have, unless you work solely for yourself and by yourself. And teamwork is just so critical, yeah, particularly in the restaurant business. You know, there's a lot going on in the kitchen on a busy night. And that kitchen staff and the front of the house staff have to work together as a team for the guests to have a good dining experience. And it's just if one member of the team, you know, falls down, it affects every other team member and it affects the success of the business, really.
Absolutely.
So those are some of the main things. I mean, if you're applying for a job at Cosmos Grill or anywhere, you know, if you can convince the person that's hiring you that you're dependable, that you can communicate, that you can handle responsibility, and that you, you know, have the really kind of the best interests of the business at heart.
Yeah.
Or the company or the organization have their best interest at heart and not just thinking about yourself. So I think that's the key to getting hired. And it's really following through on those is the key to keeping a job.
That's a good point. You mentioned not just thinking about yourself. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that. You know, what can I get out of this? And me, me, me. Mm-hmm. And if we try to think about things on a larger as a larger picture and you just being a piece of the puzzle, I think it might be able to help you work better and have a better attitude and enhance the team rather than drag it down. You know, sometimes we have those bad attitudes and you don't want to be there. It shows in everything you do.
Oh, yeah.
And ruins your reputation.
There's a quote that I always thought was one of the better ones I heard. It was from former Browns coach Sam Rutigliano, who was very successful with the Cardiac Kid teams back in the 80s. But he said he talked to one of the players one time who was kind of known to be an individual, if you will, thinking about himself maybe more than others. And he walked up to him and said, you know, there's no I in team, but there's two I's in idiot.
That's a good one. Let me write that down.
That's a good one. I remember that one.
There's no I in team, but there's two I's in idiot. That's going to be the title of this podcast. No, I'm kidding.
There you go. Good. I like it.
That's good. That's good. So you shared some really good facts on, or some really good thoughts on that. That's really interesting. But when we're on the phone talking, I keep talking about that phone conversation because it really still gave me a lot of ideas. You talked a little bit about sports. And I wonder if we can touch on that a little bit. Do you feel like, we put too much emphasis and young people and, getting their hopes up about sports and other avenues like that, and particularly young boys, and maybe not enough on making a living, getting and creating jobs. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, just naturally, Tyron, if you think about it, you know, it's a minuscule percentage of people that play any sport that really make it to a level where they can sustain themselves. You know, with that athletic ability. I mean, how many professional football players are there, for example? And think of all the professional, the young people in high school, junior high school, midget league, all those on through college, that really are able to get any kind of a financial, support out of their skills. I mean, you really have to be top echelon. And it really kind of saw it in junior achievement. You know, we would often talk to kids about careers and what they were looking forward to doing in life. And pretty large percentage, again, mostly males, as you indicated, felt that they were going to be professional athletes.
Yeah.
And you never want to, you know, step on anybody's dreams, I don't think. You want to encourage them to be the best they can. But on the other hand, I think we have to be real, try to teach them to be very realistic about what their chances of success in sports is. One of the things I think we talked about, Tyron, in that conversation was also trying to teach kids to learn how to be responsible for their own money. And the example I would use with them, again, is professional athletes that we've all read about that were making millions of dollars a year, literally millions of dollars a year, might have had a short career, but still, if you make $1 million a year for 5 years, that's $5 million. That's pretty good steak. I don't think most of us, you know, have access to those resources, let's say.
Right.
But they're out of sports for a year or two or however long it might take, and they're broke because they had somebody taking care of their money other than themselves. And that person either was did not have the skills to do it or was not trustworthy, was stealing from them.
Yeah.
So it's very important, again, no matter where you are in life in terms of job and income, whatever your money's coming from, you need to learn to take care of that yourself. You need to learn to budget it. You need to learn to, you know, save it if you have some excess after your needs, and to invest it potentially if you're able to do that, because nobody's going to watch your money like you're going to watch it.
Awesome.
Nobody.
Yeah, that's so true. You got that right.
I think that's a very important lesson, especially, you know, for you talking financial literacy, that might be lesson number one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things within that to learn, you know, how to handle credit, how to invest money again, how to, you know, a lot of it has to do with credit because people get burned on that pretty easily. And really to learn what resources are out there, like United Way, where you might be able to get some help in managing your money.
Absolutely. So, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later too. And that's a good point. There are a lot of resources out there, so you don't have to do it completely alone, but you got a point. Nobody is going to watch your money like you. That's an excellent point. So you shared so much, Rick, with about young people getting these jobs, keeping jobs, keeping track of their money. I want to hear, in closing, what final thoughts, what parting words can you leave us with?
How much time do we have? Did you say 2 hours? Is that correct?
Oh boy, come on, Rick.
Okay, I'll try to cut it back a little bit.
Just give us a slice of the cake.
Yeah, I'll try to do that. I think it's important for young people to understand that I think getting your high school degree is very critical. I think that most employers, no matter what job practically, are going to probably be looking for somebody with at least a high school degree. College degree, you know, that's almost a matter of individual choice, depending on what you're looking for in your career. You know, I think it's important to, you know, one of the things I learned at JA, my job was to go out and talk to business people to try to drum up support for JA, if you will. One of the things I learned from those folks is how difficult it is to find young people to hire, and that there's competition for jobs. Also, that's one thing I think young people don't realize. You're not going to go out there and fall into the first job you apply for.
Yeah.
There's other people applying for those jobs. So you have to make yourself as employable as possible. Part of that is like developing a personal brand. You know, it's pretty easy with social media these days to check on somebody and see what kind of a person they are when they're online.
Yes.
And beyond that, you're kind of working on a personal brand. So the personal brand is everything that you do, the things you say, how you treat people, what your appearance is, you know, pretty much how you approach life. And the better your personal brand, the easier it will be to get a job. Part of that is being able to pass a drug test. That's a big deal to employers, because a lot of employers require that, obviously, for people to get work. Talked to a lot of folks there that had good candidates lined up, told them they had to take a drug test, never saw them again.
Oh, wow.
So if you can pass a drug test, you might have a leg up on the other, you know, 50, 100, however many people are applying for that same job. Beyond that, you know, the thing I would say, Tyron, for people, young people particularly looking to get into the workforce is, you may not need that college degree. You know, that can be a personal choice as much as anything. There are a lot of really good paying jobs out there. And again, learn that from JA talking to folks, where you don't need a college degree. Wow. Just about all of the trades and the skilled trades like plumbing, electricians, construction, welding, truck drivers, they can't get enough reliable people to fill those jobs. And they're pretty good paying jobs. You know, rather than run up student debt, potentially you could get a paid internship and end up making some really good money after you go through your internship. So I think it's important. I think my generation had a tendency to push everybody to college, pre-college and college level stuff, finding out that, you know, we left some gaps. You know, there's some good careers out there, and there's some necessity, you know, in our with our employers to find people that will take those jobs. And because of that, they pay pretty well. So I think that's probably about it, since we only have an hour, not 2 hours.
So. No, that was more than enough. That was more than enough. Rick, on behalf of myself and United Way, a big, big thanks for your time and for your thoughts. I appreciate this, buddy.
Oh, I love doing it, Tyron. Thank you for asking me. It's very humbling to me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, in closing, folks, in case we have any young people listening, my takeaway to sum all this up is very simple. Comes in the form of this quote. You don't get what you want in life. You get who you are. So put your best self forward on the job and whatever you do, and you'll get the best out of it. And to any parents who might be listening who have some children, have some young people about to go into the workforce, pour into them. Give them all you can. And remember what Frederick Douglass said, which is that it's easier to raise strong children than it is to fix broken adults. So that's our episode, folks. We thank you for listening. And just remember, as you heard Rick say earlier in the podcast, if you need help or even just some encouragement as you turn your money situation, thanks again for listening. Hold on. Thanks again for listening, folks. That is our episode. As you heard Rick say earlier in the podcast, if you need help or even just some encouragement as you turn your money situation around, I want you to know that United Way of Greater Starr County is here for you. Our Financial Prosperity Center provides wraparound services to individuals and families through resource connecting, coaching and counseling, soft skills workshops, and multiple programs like Vita and Auto Repair, all free of charge. Reach out to us today and let us help you achieve long-term financial success. But until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you for living united.